And if you don't, well, and tell your grandma, if your grandma's here, happy Mother's Day. Praise you, mighty God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, you ladies, don't be running off. We have a gift for you somewhere. So don't run off after church. But put a smile on your face, because God loves a cheerful giver, and Bernie has the offering envelopes. Hallelujah. Let's pray, and you can give this morning. Father, we love you and praise you. We thank you, Lord, that you give us seed to sow in your kingdom. We thank you, Father. We place that seed in the hand of a mighty, awesome God. You'll multiply it. You'll use it to expand your kingdom, and you'll cause a harvest back to the sower. For that we give glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Even so,
come, Lord
Jesus, come. Hallelujah. I tell you what I'll do, I'll make you a deal. I know it's Mother's Day. If you listen fast, I'll preach fast. We are thankful for our mothers. Amen. I am a mama's boy, so is Michael. So is Levi. So is David. Yep. You know, you moms are closer to God than we are, in that you can bring forth life. Bernie, you missed one over here. Almost done. Y'all get to participate in bringing forth life, new life. Amen. Now, don't get all big-headed, because you can't do it without us men, but you know what I mean. you get to bring forth life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we are so thankful for our mothers, because I'll just be honest with you, us men, we don't make good patients. And if it was up to men to give birth, I'm not so sure how many children there would be. Probably a whole lot less. Okay. All right. You ready to get into God's word this morning? You listen fast, I'll preach fast. Amen. Father, we love you and praise you. We thank you for your word and what it means to us. And Father, I just pray right now you anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive your word this morning, Lord God. And forgive Mike, in Jesus' name, amen. I heard that. yeah. In Genesis 1:1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And from the beginning, I believe that God has never wanted to separate heaven and earth. He wanted them to be together. When Jesus' disciples ask him how to pray, he tells them to pray in this manner. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then if you read the revelation of John, John tells us in chapter 21 that he saw a new heaven and a new earth, a new Jerusalem coming down. So God has always, listen, God has always wanted to dwell in the center of his people. Amen. Turn with me to Genesis. Genesis, we'll start in chapter 2. And then we'll go over to chapter 3. And then I'll come back to chapter 2. Verse 21 of Genesis 2 says, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman,'" or in Hebrew, isha, "because she was taken out of man," ish. You know, he's not very personal with the name here, is he? You're a woman because you came out of man, all right? Now, we'll come back to that in a minute. I want us to go over to chapter 3. And I want us to pick it up in verse 6. Now, you know the story. The serpent has tempted Eve, and she ate of the forbidden fruit, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and then she gives it to her husband, and he eats of it. And in verse 6 it says, "So the woman saw the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruits and ate. She also gave her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you?' So he said, 'I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.'" For the first time in man's history, we see man having a fear. Fear enters in at the moment of sin. All right? He said, "I was afraid because I was naked." All right? Now, you hold that thought, and I want you to come with me to we're still in chapter 3, but I want you to go over to verse 18. Verse 16, actually. Verse 16. "To the woman he said, 'I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you.' Then to Adam he said, 'Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, "You shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face or your brow you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return.' And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them." Wow. First thing, Adam blames his wife, right? And the second thing we see, or the first thing we see, is they're afraid. But then he tells the Lord, "It's this woman you gave me, Lord, that caused me to do this." All right? How many know Adam wasn't responsible? You know, we've got a lot of young men in this world that don't want to be responsible. And young ladies, okay? And older ones that don't want to be responsible. See, love, true love, is not the act of sexual intercourse. True love is understanding your responsibility and willing to make the commitment to in order for you to fulfill that responsibility. That's true love. All right? Now watch. So Adam has to confront being afraid. Now he has to confront the fact that he's now mortal. Think about that. God said, "From dust you come, and from dust you're going back to." Adam's got to face the he's got to face the fact that he's not going to live forever anymore. Amen. But in the pagan world, like the Egyptians and Mesopotamians and the Romans, you know, they thought immortality was building a big structure like the big pyramids, or building a statue, getting a statue of yourself. That made you immortal. But to the Jewish men and the rabbis, they said immortality can only be seen in the children you produce. You live on because of the children that's coming from you. Amen? So instead of a statue, the Jewish people always put their effort into their children, to teach their children, to instill in their children godly morals and values. Amen? Because that was the only way that they could continue to live, that through their children and their children's children. Let me turn my page here. I'm trying to go fast. All right? Now, let's go back to chapter 2. Adam gives Eve, I'm going to give you the Reader's Digest version of this sermon today. Oh, it's a good thing nobody said amen. You would have hurt my feelings. You know, I got feelings, you know. Back to chapter 2. When Adam was afraid, fear came in. But before I get to that, I want to say this. You know, before they committed sin, Adam just referred to Eve as Isha. But now, after they've been through some difficulty, see, if you've been married more than 10 years, you've probably been through some difficulty together. Amen? And now that you've been through some difficulty, that love and that commitment should be stronger. And it's the same way with God. As you walk with God year after year, as you grow in God, as you battle your Goliaths, as you fight those battles and stay true to God, your relationship with God should be even deeper and even greater. Amen? Christianity is not about do's and don'ts, folks. I grew up thinking that. Can't do this, you can't do that, and you can't do this. But Christianity is about a relationship with a loving Heavenly Father. A relationship with a Father. And you know, in the day we live in, there's a whole bunch of kids, when you say love and Father in the same sentence, they just want to flip you off. Hey, I'm serious. Because they've never experienced a Father's love. Because we've had so many young men see, when I talked about commitment, responsibility, you know, when intimacy exceeds the level of commitment, somebody always gets hurt. And it's usually the young woman. Amen or oh me. All right? Now, here's what I want you to see. After they've been through the difficulty, now Adam realizes that Eve is equal to him. Not just an extension of him, but she's equal with him. And now he refers to her as Eve. He realizes she's a person, a real living being, one who is going to produce his children, one that's going to help him be immortal by his children and his children's children. And he's still alive today because we're still having children. Amen. But you know what? When I was thinking about that Adam had to realize that his wife was a real person, a real human being, his co-equal in the eyes of God. See, today in America, we've aborted over 70 million babies. Because the people who are pro-abortion don't think that's a real person in that womb. They don't see the person. In our society, sex has become more of an animalistic act than it's a person. Young men don't treat young ladies like they have any dignity or like they are a person. If I could go back and change one thing in my life, I would go back and I would treat young women much better than I did when I was a young man. Of course, when I was 16, I thought I knew everything. I know there's nobody else in here that thought that, you know. But I was quite sure of myself, you know, when I was 16. Yeah. And when I was 35, I'm thinking, my mom and dad were a lot smarter than I give them credit for. Amen or oh me. So now let's go to this fear. I want to get to that. I'll skip over that part, although that was good. I was going to read you in the Song of Songs how they described each other, because they saw each other as a person. In Genesis 3, I'm going to skip it. I'll save it for next time. Genesis 3, 7, 9, we see sin enter. How does sin enter? Through disobedience. And because of disobedience, what follows? Fear. Right? Okay. With that said, I want us to go to Deuteronomy chapter 31, page 268, if you got a Bible like mine. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 31. And we'll probably start around verse 7. How many know in the society we live in, we've got a lot to worry and fear about? Right? Sometimes that worry and fear can overwhelm us, can overshadow us, can control our emotions and every move and every decision we make. You know, we have a guy that drives truck for us. And he's petrified of snakes. So we can't send him out in the country to get some of these wells where they don't cut the grass. And we're like, well, we'll just buy you some of them big snake boots. Oh, he said, you don't understand. He said, when I see a snake, I just freeze. I lock up. You serious? You're almost 50 years old. That's what they make clubs for. He said, you don't understand. I just lock up. See, when fear grips somebody, they have a hard time even moving. My grandpa Andy, he got sick one time coming back from Marietta. From that point on, you couldn't hardly get him in a car or get him to go out to eat because he was afraid he was going to get sick again. We had to trick him. And we tricked him so much, I'm sure, I don't know why he didn't catch on. But Grandma would say, I'm hungry, pull in at the next Bob Evans. He'd say, oh my, I knew it. Because he was fearful that something would happen. My mom, she loves me dearly. And she's a great woman of faith. If anybody needs you to pray for, except for her children. See, we get angry at our children. Why? Because we're fearful something bad's going to happen to them. See, so every time Mama Jackie has gotten mad at you, it's because she was fearful that something bad would happen to you. But see, that fear is the opposite of faith. Amen. Oh, tomorrow I know all about you teaching yourself to drive, you know? I know all about that. But we get mad. There you go, he didn't wreck. He's got a case. But you know, fear has no place in a heart full of faith. And in Deuteronomy 31, it says this, verse 7, then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel. Now Moses is about to die. And Moses is not allowed to go into the promised land because of the way he struck that rock. Okay, so he's not allowed to go in. So he's standing on Mount Nebo, which is in Jordan today. and he's looking into the promised land, and he's got the children of Israel there. Now listen, this is Joshua. He's the number two man. He's been following Moses for 40 years. I'm sure he's learned to depend on Moses. But now he knows Moses is about to die, and Joshua, you get to take over and lead these people into the promised land, into a land of milk and honey, into a land that a cluster of grapes was so big they had to carry it on a pole between two men. R.W. Shambach used to say grapes were so big you'd get a quart of wine out of one grape. Now, I don't know if it's that big or not. But along with those, with the fruit and the milk and honey that was flowing, along with that, Joshua's got to be thinking, well, what about the giants? There's giants in the land. There's Canaanites, Hittites, all kind of Hittites in there. And you're going to have to fight. And I'm sure Joshua, knowing what's about to take place, has probably got just a little bit of anxiety. And let's keep reading. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Joshua, you got a big task. You're going to have to lead every one of these people into the promised land. You're going to have to bring down the walls of Jericho. They say the walls of Jericho were so wide that they had chariot races around it. You're going to have to march around that thing. You're going to have to blow your shofar, and I'm going to bring that down. Now, Joshua is a new leader, and he's doing his best to be courageous, because that's what leaders do. They put on that courage in front of everybody, and all the Israelites are around. And now God tells Joshua, Joshua, I want you to march around the city. What? You want me to what? Oh, yeah, I want you to march around the city every day. Every day, you want me to march around the city. I'm just thinking in my mind. I mean, I thought maybe we was going to come up with a cannon or, you know, some kind of strategic military deal God was going to come up with. No, Joshua, I want you to walk around. See, baby girl, I don't want you going out that late at night. See, because my mom used to say, there ain't nothing happening after 11 o'clock that you need to be a part of. Amen. Huh? I was like, what? What do you mean? So Joshua does what God says. And I'm sure these words that Moses spoke to him are resonating in his heart. The Lord your God will go with you. Do not be dismayed. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Amen. So Joshua is obedient to God, and the children of Israel conquer the promised land. Amen. So the first thing you're going to have to do to overcome fear is this: you are never alone. The enemy likes us to believe we're alone and nobody loves us and nobody cares, because he's trying to throw you a pity party. Huh? That's right. Separate you from the herd. So once he can get you there and you're feeling sorry, you're alone, nobody's here, then he's got you. Then fear is the very next natural thing that comes. But don't fear, because you're never alone, because God is with you. And you know what? Most of you, God is in you. Amen. In the presence of the Holy Spirit. Let's go over to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43 real quick. Where did I say? Yeah, very good. I was just checking. See if anybody's listening. Fear is a liar. Verse 1. Page 923, if you got a Bible like mine. Glory to God. But now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel. O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. Any redeemed people in here this morning? Well, then fear ought not be a part of your life. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Amen. Amen. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. Glory to God. Now, let's go over to Romans chapter 8. We got two or three more scriptures, and we'll finish with a flurry and honor our mothers. Romans chapter 8. I didn't write the page down. Bummer, dude. Romans chapter 8. 15, yeah. Only we're going to go to 1562. Boy, I hate to read this out of context, but I will. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So, the writer, the Apostle Paul, says, we know that all things work together for good, but then he qualifies it, to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Let me show you what his purpose is. Verse 29. This is for every one of you. For whom he foreknew. How many know Jeremiah said, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. God knew you. Amen. We believe at the moment of conception, God quickens the womb with the spirit of that child, and life begins. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Our purpose is to allow the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to mold us and shape us into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We are to, remember what we said about when a rabbi called a disciple to follow him? That was a high calling, and the idea wasn't that disciple would just learn from him, but that disciple would learn from him and imitate his rabbi. Amen. So when the Holy Spirit began to woo your heart and you came to that place that you make Jesus Lord, God was saying, come follow me. And the cool thing about that is a rabbi would never ask someone to follow him unless he saw potential in them. So in every one of us, when God is wooing us by his Spirit, drawing us, bringing us to that place that we repent and make Jesus Lord, he sees the potential in you to be made in the image of his Son. Amen? Oh, glory to God. All right, turn with me to 1 Peter. We're about to close. It's Mother's Day. I'm just going to cut you some slack. But you're not going to get to take any money back. I haven't charged you for extra for a long time. For all you that might be visiting, we don't do that around here. We don't charge extra, all right? And we definitely for sure don't give any back, all right? No, just kidding. Look at verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, page 1769. Likewise, you younger people, Submit yourselves to your elders. I'm in verse 5 of chapter 5 of 1 Peter. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. James says God resists the proud but draws near to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Watch, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. How's he devour us? When we're trying to take the weight of the world on our shoulders instead of trusting in God and putting them on his shoulders. God, you're with me. Your word says you're with me. Your word says you'll never leave me nor forsake me. I'm giving you these cares. I can't take care of it. I need you to take care of it. Amen. And the last scripture we'll go to. You're in 1 Peter. Just keep going to the right. In 1 John chapter 4. I think we're going to verse 18. Oh man, I can't just go to verse 18. It's verse 7. Now, don't get all mad at me. I was going to go to verse 1. Page 1788, you got a Bible like mine. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Amen. You know, if you're ranting and raving all the time, carrying on, being mad, being mean, don't tell nobody God loves them. Please don't tell nobody God loves them. Because you'll run them off. All right, I'll quit meddling. In this, verse 9, in this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. I don't like that word propitiation, because it carries the idea of satisfying the wrath of an angry God. And to use that word, how many of you know the Bible was written in Hebrew, translated to Greek, then Latin and English? So, you know, sometimes they miss something here and there. Does that mean I don't believe the Word of God is the immutable Word of God? Yes, I do. I believe it was God-breathed. But when men start translating, sometimes you miss things. Because in some languages, like in Greek, for instance, there's many Hebrew words that they don't have a Greek equivalent. So they just did the best they could. The same way with Latin and then into English. So propitiation means to satisfy the wrath of an angry God. But John has just said that God is love. Amen. So to say that he's satisfying the wrath of an angry God and to say that God is love kind of makes my head go tilt. Like some of the teenagers that will be at youth camp here in about a month. When you say love and father in the same sentence, they just, what's that mean? Because they haven't seen it. But a better word is the word expiation. Expiation means the blotting out or the removal of sin, hence the renewal of communion with God. Amen. Amen. That's what Jesus did. He took the penalty for Adam's sin in the garden, right? And for our sins, and he took it upon himself at the cross of Calvary. The penalty of sin is death. Somebody's got to die. In Adam's Eve's case, the Bible tells us that God killed an animal and clothed them with the skin. So you see that first substitutionary sacrifice. And then Jesus is now our substitute. But the Bible also says that Jesus is a better sacrifice. He has a better blood. And the reason is his sacrifice is eternal. I don't know how many years ago Bernie got saved, but it was before I did. I didn't get saved for several years after Bernie did. But that blood applied to me, still cleansed me. Amen. So that sacrifice of Jesus, that blood of Jesus, is eternal. From the time he died, resurrected, and sat down at the right hand of the Father and began to pour out his Spirit, his sacrifice has been eternal. His blood has been eternal. Amen. So I think that what his Son did was he blotted out or removed the sin, the penalty of sin, and he reconciled us back to the Father. Now we can have a relationship with God. When's the last time you said something to God? And I'm not talking about in vain, saying it nasty. Huh? This morning? Good job. You know, he's just waiting for you to speak to him. He never slumbers nor sleeps. And he will speak back to you if you're quiet enough and listen. Most of the time we go through life 900 miles an hour, you know, and we're halfway through the meal and we're like, oh man, we didn't pray. Father's like, give me food that we're eating. Huh? We don't even think of God. We're not conscious of God. Yet our spirits are eternal beings. We like to feed this body, right? But we don't spend much time feeding our spirit. And Jesus went to a cross at Calvary and was resurrected in order for you to be reconciled to the Father, to be able to experience a Father's love. It's unconditional. You know, the pagan gods, the pagans were always, the Greeks and the Romans, they were always offering sacrifices, even their children, to try to appease the gods or try to con the gods into doing something for them. But the one true God of Israel, you don't have to appease him. You don't have to try to manipulate him. You just have to let him into your heart. Amen. Let me keep reading here. Verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love has been perfected in us. Now I want to clear this up. What did I say love was? I didn't say it had anything to do with emotions, did I? I said love is understanding your commitment and being responsible to fulfill that commitment. See, when Adam sinned, by all rights, God could have just killed him. Could have, because the wages of sin is death. But God loved Adam so much, he was committed to mankind, and he was responsible for manifesting himself in his Son in order that he could take the sin of the world upon himself. That's true love. Love is action. Verse 12, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Perfect love casts out fear. Now let's go back to the origination of fear. Sin caused Adam to fear. Right? But John says perfect love casts out fear. There's been only one perfect one. that's ever walked among us. And they nailed him to a cross at Calvary. But you know what he said to us? He said in John 15, if you love me, obey my commandments. See, perfect love is not telling someone, I love you, I love you. It's action. It's doing. It's being responsible for that commitment. Every time a man and a woman get married, they say vows to each other. I'm just afraid those vows don't mean squat. See, the level of commitment, they can say whether they want to, but in their heart, they're not really committed, and they don't really want to be responsible for the vows that they've spoken. It's the same way with our relationship with God. If our perfect love we have for God is going to cast out fear, then we're going to be able to look at your life and say, wow, that person's walking in obedience to the Word of God. And when you're walking in obedience to the Word of God, that love now becomes perfect. You can worship God in spirit and truth. How many times have I told you that, you know, Jesus told the woman at the well that there'll come a time when you won't worship God on this mountain nor in Jerusalem, but God is seeking those who worship him in spirit and truth. See, I can't worship him in truth if during the week I'm not living according to his word. Amen? And if I am, then I can come in here and worship him out of my spirit and in truth. Listen, there are people in this world, they will tell you they love you, but they really have an ulterior motive. Really don't have your best interests at heart. They have theirs at heart. But when God says, or when the Bible tells that, for God so loved the world, he gave. His actions spoke of his commitment to mankind. And I got to tell you know, living in this world with God is tough. You still got giants to fight. You still got battles to win. Living in this life without God is impossible. Impossible. You're just going to become another statistic. Everybody bow your heads this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There it comes. Father, we love you. I praise you and I magnify you, Lord. Father, I believe this morning you're speaking to hearts here. And I ask you, Lord, to just continue to woo them and draw them and give them the courage. Give them the courage to take a stand for you this morning. Hallelujah. Just every eye closed and every head bowed for a minute. If there's anybody in here, maybe you've never been saved. Maybe you once were saved, but you've gotten away from Father's house. And you say, you know what? It's time to come back to Father's house. Now, I'm not going to promise you that if you give your heart to Jesus, everything's going to come up roses for you. But I will promise you, you won't be alone in the battle. You will not be alone. Now, if anybody like that, you can just stand up and come up here with me. Nobody be mad but the devil. Oh, hallelujah. Anybody else? Glory to God. Sweetheart. You know, the Bible tells us that the anointing being the presence of God, destroys yokes and lifts burden. And God's commanded us in His Word to anoint with oil and pray the prayer of faith, and the prayer of faith will heal the sick. Amen? I can't heal anybody. You can't heal anybody. All we can do is walk in obedience to the Word of God. We'll anoint with whole oil and lay hands on her. God will do the rest. Bernie, you and Jackie, step up here behind me. Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you and praise you for Shelby, Lord God. And Father, I thank you she's come back to Father's house. And Lord, I anoint her with oil. And we are just believing you, Lord God, that you are going to lead her through this valley. Father, you're going to lead her out. Her mourning will turn into dancing, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. You will turn her ashes into beauty. And Father, she will be healed and whole in Jesus' name. Father, we just ask that you destroy this yoke that the enemy has brought upon her. And Father, let your love shine in her heart and in her mind. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Love you. You're welcome. You're welcome. Here, that was yours. I thought I had another one. Hallelujah. Y'all blessed. Well, let's celebrate Jesus by taking communion this morning. Amen. Jackie, you and Debbie, help me. This is Debbie. Debbie Workman. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is good all the time. Now we're about to take communion. And we're going to take the bread, which represents the broken body of Jesus. And we're going to drink that cup of wine. And you know, in the book of Revelations, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And everybody thinks that that's when Jesus knocks on your heart, starts wooing your heart. And certainly that's true. But in the Jewish tradition of the first century, Jesus is trying to describe the betrothal process. When a young man is about to ask a young lady to marry him, the father will start the rumor going around the whole village. You know, that my son's interested in this young lady. So when he comes to the door and knocks, she's not totally surprised, because the rumors have been running around. But when he knocks on the door and she looks out, she has the opportunity at that point to shut the door or not to open the door. And if she doesn't open the door, then it's over. But if she opens the door, then they come in. They negotiate a price. You know, might need a couple mules and 3 goats for my daughter. You know, I tried to set up one of my sons one time, and I was going to have to give the father of the bride a new set of ping golf clubs. That was going to be the, he didn't want a mule or a goat or nothing, you know. But they would negotiate that price, and through the different customs and ceremonies, they would drink 3 cups of wine. The families would. Is that, you getting everybody? Okay. But the 4th cup, only the bride drank. And that 4th cup became a symbol of her vow of fidelity, her faithfulness until that wedding day. And remember what Jesus said? You know, he is the bridegroom. He told those men, "I won't drink of this cup again until I come in the fullness of my Father's kingdom." Hallelujah. So this cup that you're about to drink of becomes a symbol of our vow to remain faithful until he comes. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your son Jesus. We thank you, Father, for your commitment to your creation, that you would manifest yourself in your son and allow your body to be wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon you, and by your stripes we are healed. And this morning, Lord Jesus, with thanksgiving in our hearts, in remembrance of you, that you are the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, that you are the immerser, baptizer in the Holy Spirit, that you are right now our high priest interceding for us, and that you are our soon coming King. With thanksgiving in our hearts and remembrance of you, we eat of your body. Hold your cup up. Don't spill it on you. On three, we're going to say L'chaim. One, two, three. L'chaim. L'chaim is Hebrew for to life. And this cup represents the blood of Jesus. And according to the word of God, life is in the blood. So at Calvary, Jesus poured out his life that we could be partakers of that life. And not mere partakers. Jesus said you can have this life and have it more abundantly. He was talking about your relationship with God. You can have as much of God as you're willing to put into that relationship. Lord Jesus, this morning with thanksgiving in our heart, in remembrance of you, we drink of your life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Everybody blessed this morning. Do what? Yeah. Yeah, if your mother's here or grandmother's here, go back and get a bag from Debbie. If you don't have any children here, we're going to borrow some. Yeah, you're supposed to get your mama's gift back there. Come on, girl. Be careful going by there. It's kind of tricky. Yeah. I couldn't help but tell. Go back there and see Debbie. She'll hook you up. Mia, go back there and help some more, will you? We've got several mothers here. All the mothers, you got your gift yet? There you go. Turn around. No, she's not here. Yeah, get it. It's all right. Might have been a rough day for her. Do what? Oh, that's a good point. Juanita said, you don't know how much you miss your mother till you don't have her. Yeah, Juanita hasn't got one yet. There you go, Juanita. Hallelujah. And if you're a woman and you're not a mother in here, you get you one of these gifts also. Amen. Glory to God. Have a happy Mother's Day. Be blessed. Amen. I called my mom this morning, first one. I'm the first one to call her every Mother's Day. You know, she's moving a little slower. Took her longer to get to the phone. I could hear her. Well, I ain't going to say that. You know. I can hear her coming to the phone. Let's just put it that way. So, amen. Glory to God. Everybody blessed this morning. Amen. Well, let me bless you and dismiss you. Father, we love you and praise you. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Father, I ask that you bless these, your people, this day and this week. Bless them spiritually, physically, financially, and emotionally. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Hold it one time, one more time. Father, I thank you that we can agree in prayer. Your word says that if two or more shall agree as touching anything, you do it for them. And Lord, I lift up Kylie to you. And Father, I pray, Lord God, you will lead her out of this valley and to the mountaintop, Lord God, her and her family. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Y'all loosed and can go now. Have a happy Mother's Day. Take Mom out to eat. I got you something else too.
Is this what you want?
Yep. Those were certificates. Thank you, Tamar.
I need you to do that financial prayer again for me.
Oh, yeah. We can do it. I'm going to pray for your finances right now.
Okay.
Father, I just thank you that you're leading Tamar to a job, a J-O-B, a better job, a better paying job, Lord God. Father, lead him, guide him, and direct him. Do a miracle in his life. Show yourself mighty. In Jesus' name, amen.
Consider it done.
Thank you.
Went to my 35th class reunion.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. Had a blast.
Good. Red Ford Escape. Is that George's?
No, I think that's...
The reason I ask is there's a gentleman here. I'll just tell you.
Okay. Turn this mic off.